As you're able to, please stand for our first hymn, This Is the Day, number 657, if you're following in the hymnal. Thank you for remaining standing as we affirm our faith together with the Apostles' Creed, number 881. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. The third day he rose from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Seated. At this time, we'd like to bring our prayer requests as well as our praises before the body and before the Lord. I have a couple of prayer requests. If you will, keep Liliana in your prayers. She was sick last Sunday and got over that, but yesterday at about midnight, I guess this morning at about midnight, she woke up. She had a fever of 101.5. Now this morning when she woke up, she still had a fever, but it was lower and she seemed to be feeling better. And sometimes her allergies give her fever and stuff like that. So it may just be that that's what it is. But she seemed a little bit better this morning, but since she still had a fever, we thought she better stay home. So keep her in your prayers, if you will. And also keep my friend Tamitha in your prayers still. She's still having some issues going on with her daughter and is trying to figure out the best way to deal with all of the things going on in that situation. So if you'll keep her in your prayers. And then also, Timber is supposed to have surgery this week. So if you will keep her in your prayers, that all of that is taken care of. I believe it's the surgery to reattach her intestines and everything. So if you will keep her in your prayers, I know that they would appreciate it. Other than that, I don't have any requests. Does anybody have any requests or praises? Georgia?
Carl.
Right.
I have good news about my friend who's at the hospital. From what I understand, he almost died from this, so I didn't realize it was, I knew it was bad, but he's doing better. He's going to have physical therapy. He's on the bed for like 2 weeks, so
Well, good. I'm glad he's better. Thank God for that. So, if y'all don't know, by the way, we have a superhero in our midst, Nancy the Invulnerable. Nancy was unfortunately in a car accident this past week. I'm going to embarrass her a little bit. But she said that though she was shaken up, she didn't really get a whole lot of extra problems from it, unless they came later in the week. But the last I saw you, you were fine. So we're very thankful that Nancy survived, obviously, and that she is with us with no issues, no pain, nothing like that. So no car. Yeah, there's that too. So pray that all that goes smoothly. We all know how it can be sometimes with insurance. So pray for all that. But we're very thankful that Nancy is okay. So, does anyone else have any? Yes, Richard. Pray for Andy and his surgery and his worry as well. Does anyone else have any requests or praises they'd like to share? Yes, it's just a lot right now. All right, we will keep them in our prayers as well. Does anyone else have any requests or praises they would like to share with us?
I have a granddaughter, Ashley Breeden, who will be having gallbladder surgery on the 25th. And we have a dear friend, her name is Mabel True, which we call her Sis True, who has been bedfast since, before Thanksgiving, I think. And in order for her to be moved to a nursing home, she'll have to go back to the hospital when she's been in bed all this time. When she used, for 7 or 8 years, she was in a motorized wheelchair, done everything for herself, and she is 95.
Wow.
Is that right? 95.
Okay.
And she says she's ready to go, but in order to do that, she's going to have to go to the hospital and then be there. Monday. So
okay.
Just be with that family.
Okay.
Pray that's Calvin True's mother, or you may know Calvin.
Okay. His mom. Okay. Situation. All right. All right. Does anyone else have any requests or praises they'd like to share? All right. Well, if not, let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we thank you for this day and for the many blessings that you give us. Lord, we thank you for this time that we can spend together in fellowship and in worship of you. And we invite your Spirit to dwell amongst us as we attempt with your help to worship you in spirit and in truth. Thank you for being a God who listens to us, a God who wants to talk to us, who wants to have relationship with us, who wants to be part of our lives. Lord, we pray today for all of those who are on our prayer list, those who are on our hearts and on our minds. We especially today want to pray for Andy as he is having his open heart surgery soon. And we pray not only for successful surgery and a quick recovery, but that you would help him with his worry and his concern during this time. We also pray for Tiffany as she is having some tests done, and we pray for those tests for information, for wisdom and discernment, but also, Lord, for the worry that comes from such things. We pray for Ashley Breeden. She is going to have surgery as well. And for Mabel, that you would be with her during this time of transition and this time of just life change. May everything go smoothly, and may she accomplish what she is trying to accomplish in transitioning to the nursing home. Lord, we pray for this friend of Terry's and Norley's. We ask that you would be with them, with the family, with everything that's going on in that situation. Lord, we pray all of these things and so many more in the beautiful and glorious name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, as we pray together the words that he taught his disciples to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who have trespassed against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. At this time, if we could have our children come forward, we will have children's time. Have you gotten enough candy yet, Liam?
Yes.
Yes? Okay. Your heart racing real fast and everything now? Looks like it. Well, we'll make it short here. So, some people like fire and some people hate fire. What do you think about fire?
It's dumb.
It's dumb? Yeah? Some people just don't like fire. Some people are afraid of fire. Some people are actually scared of fire. But fire is one of those things that it's good sometimes and it's bad sometimes. It doesn't really have any sort of moral value. The funny thing is that in our society, we don't use fire as much, but you know, not that long ago, people used fire for everything. They used it to cook. They used it to keep warm in the wintertime. They used it to protect themselves from wild animals, things like that. Fire was a good thing as long as it was kept where it was supposed to be. And in the same way, a lot of people feel that way about God. God is scary. And every time we see in the Bible people encounter God, they immediately fall down on their face and they're terrified. But the first thing that God always says is, "Don't be afraid, it's just me." See, people don't like fire and they don't like God for the same reasons, because they're afraid. They don't see the goodness, they forget the goodness, and all they see is things to be afraid of. But just like fire can help us, fire is a good thing, fire can help us to cleanse things, make things better, keep us warm, God is there for us as well, not to harm us, but to help us. So whenever you see fire and you think it's dumb, just remember that sometimes fire is a good thing, and all the times God is good. Let's say a prayer. Father, we thank you for this day and for the many blessings that you give us. Lord, help us to remember that we are not supposed to be afraid of you, because you love us and you care for us. May you bless Liam. May you bless all the children that cannot be here today. May you bless all children everywhere and help us to have childlike faith. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. All right, I think you can just head back to your papaw today. If we could have our ushers come forward at this time, we'll worship the Lord with our tithes and offerings. Let us pray. Father, we thank you for this day and for the many blessings that you give us. As we prepare to give back of those blessings, may we be reminded that we do not give out of guilt or fear, pride or greed, or any negative reason. Rather, Lord, we give out of love and devotion for you and love for neighbor. May you bless the givers. May you bless the receivers. May all come to know Christ, for it is in his name that we pray. Amen. Thank you for remaining standing for our next hymn, "And Are We Yet Alive?" number 553, if you're following in the hymnal. Thank you. Thank you. As you are able, please remain standing for the reading of Holy Scripture. Our scripture today is found in the book of the prophet Isaiah, chapter 58, verses 1 through 12. Isaiah writes, "Shout out, do not hold back. Lift up your voice like a trumpet. Announce to my people their rebellion, to the house of Jacob their sins. Yet day after day they seek me and delight to know my ways, as if they were a nation that practiced righteousness and did not forsake the ordinance of their God. They ask of me righteous judgments. They delight to draw near to God. Why do we fast, but you do not see? Why humble ourselves, but you do not notice? Look, you serve your own interest on your fast day and oppress all your workers. Look, you fast only to quarrel and to fight and to strike with a wicked fist. Such fasting as you do today will not make your voice heard on high. Is such the fast that I choose, a day to humble yourself? Is it to bow down the head like a bulrush and to lie in sackcloth and ashes? Will you call this a fast, a day acceptable to the Lord? Is not this the fast that I choose, to loose the bonds of injustice, to undo the thongs of the yoke, to let the oppressed go free and to break every yoke? Is it not to share your bread with the hungry? Bring the homeless poor into your house. When you see the naked, to cover them, and not to hide yourself from your own kin. Then your light shall break forth like the dawn, and your healing shall spring up quickly. Your vindicator shall go before you. The glory of the Lord shall be your rear guard. Then you shall call, and the Lord will answer. You shall cry for help, and he will say, 'Here I am.' If you remove the yoke from among you, the pointing of the finger, the speaking of evil, if you offer your food to the hungry and satisfy the needs of the afflicted, then your light shall rise in the darkness, and your gloom be like the noonday. The Lord will guide you continually and satisfy your needs in parched places and make your bones strong. You shall be like a watered garden, like a spring of water whose waters never fail. Your ancient ruins shall be rebuilt. You shall raise up the foundations of many generations. You shall be called the repairer of the breach, the restorer of streets to live in." This is the word of God to the people of God. Praise be to God. You may be seated. So the other week, time kind of gets away from you sometimes. I don't know if y'all noticed that. The other week, I was down in Georgia for my aunt's funeral, and I stayed at my mom's house while I was down there. And my mom doesn't watch the news, but always has the news on. It's really more my stepdad that watches it. My mom just sort of is there, you know. And so the news is on, and of course, this period of time was that period where the impeachment stuff was here and it was heading here, you know, it was in the transition period. And so of course that's all that the news could talk about, right? And they kept saying, well, you know, they're talking about quid pro quo, quid pro quo, quid pro quo. And I said, you know, I know what that means, but I can't remember. So I did what anybody does. I looked it up. I went to Google. And I found what it means. And when I read it, I was like, oh yeah, of course, that's what it means. For those of you who don't know, it means this for that, essentially, right? In the way we normally say it in common people's language is, you scratch my back, I scratch yours, right? That's what quid pro quo is. And when I was reading the lectionary readings for this Sunday, trying to decide what the Lord would have me to speak about, as I read, especially Isaiah, I started to realize, you know, I started to think about quid pro quo and about how we often view our relationship with God. See, God wants us to have relationship with him. In Bible study, we talk a lot about how Jesus kept saying, that you can't be a Christian by yourself. You have to have relationship. There are things in Christianity that you can't do if it's just you, right? You can't bear one another's burdens if you're the only one there, right? I mean, that doesn't make a whole lot of sense, right? You can't say where two or more are gathered in my name, I am there, because if you're by yourself, you can't be two or more, right? That's kind of how that works. But there are other things that Jesus talks about. He sent the disciples out two by two. For safety, yes, but also because when one falls, the other picks up, right? That's how this works. It's supposed to be a relationship. Proverbs talks about as iron sharpens iron, so one person sharpens another, right? You can't have many effective things by themselves. You can't sharpen a knife without something to sharpen the knife on. I don't know of any gun that works without bullets, right? Even, say, a blunt object, right? If you're using a blunt object as a weapon, or not even as a weapon, like a baseball bat to play baseball, guess what? You gotta have a hand to hold it with, right? I mean, that things require other things. But unfortunately, we view our relationship with God in a quid pro quo kind of way, in a this for that. We say, God, if you do this for me, I'll do this for you. Right? That's how we like to phrase it. Martin Luther did that, incidentally. He was in a storm one time, and this lightning struck, and he was terrified. He fell off of his horse, or actually, I think it was a mule, because, you know, horses were really expensive back then. And he said, God, if you save me from this, I'll become a monk. And God saved him, and he became a monk. And, well, the rest is history, I suppose. That's how we view our relationship with God, though. God is kind of like our ATM machine, or, you know, something to that effect, right? We put something in, it gives us something out. The same thing was going on back in Isaiah's day. This what Isaiah is addressing here. See, the people were extremely religious. They kept all the fast days. They did all the stuff. They even added extra gods in there just to cover their bases. You know, they were very religious. But God tells them, do you really think that I care about fasting in and of itself? Right? Do you really think that I care about praying in and of itself? Do you really think that I care about sacrifices? Do you really think that I care that you go to church? Do you really think that I care that you do good things? Do you really think that I care that you don't watch bad movies and don't say bad stuff and don't listen to the wrong music and all this? Do you really think in and of itself that I care about those things? God says, I don't care about those things. I care about why you do those things, and I care about what those things spur you on towards. He tells the people through Isaiah in this passage that you do your religious deeds, and then you go and oppress your workers. He says, you go to church, and then you go out to lunch and don't tip your waitress very well, and you fuss and gripe about whatever ridiculous thing we've decided to fuss and gripe about today, right? He says, you go to church and then you go to Walmart and tell people, what are you doing working on a Sunday? While you're pushing your shopping cart through Walmart, right? I don't know about y'all, but basic logic dictates that the answer to that question is in the question itself, right? He says, you do these things. You're good religious people. But you don't know God. You don't have a clue who God is. He tells them, you give money to feed starving children in Africa, but when you see a starving person on the street, you cross the street, pretend like they don't exist. Or you justify why they don't need it. Well, they're probably going to get drugs with it. I got news for you. The food that you send to Africa, there's a possibility it's going to get stolen by local warlords and will never get to the people that it's feeding. God didn't ask you to do all that. He said, feed the poor or feed the hungry, right? God tells Israel, you look up, and you forget to look out. I don't care if you look up. The image of God is not up there. The image of God is down here, right? God says, if you want a true relationship with me, start doing the things that matter to me, right? Think about it. That's very relational, right? Everybody here has at least one relationship in their life, right? I think we all have at least one. Now tell me. Let's just suppose, I'll use John since he's right here and he doesn't mind. Let's just suppose that John, who's sliding down really quick, let's suppose that John is a huge, huge, huge UT fan, right? He obviously isn't because he doesn't have his hair dyed orange, but you know. But let's just suppose for our mental exercise that John is the biggest UT fan that has ever lived in his life. And poor Joanne can't stand football. She couldn't care less. If football was never invented, she wouldn't lose a bit of sleep, right? And let's say that what Joanne really likes to do is that Joanne really likes to knit, right? All she does all day is knit. She goes to knitting conventions, right? She's always up at Joanne Fabric getting more stuff for knitting. And John's like, oh, God, more knitting, right? He can't stand it. What do you think would happen to their relationship, though, if Joanne didn't support, in some small way, John's love of UT football, and John didn't support, in some way, her love of knitting, right? She might go to a game with him. He might sit in the car while she walks through Joanne Fabric, you know. These kinds of things, right? Because a relationship, it's about the other person, right? That's what relationships are about, the other person. That's why we struggle with relationships. You know, go to a bookstore, They still have those, by the way, in case you're wondering. Go to a bookstore. Go over to the self-help, personal growth, psychology. They have a million names, sections. And look at how many books are about you and how many books are about why isn't my relationship better? I can combine the two books and answer the question. My relationship isn't better because I'm too busy focusing on me. And you need to focus on yourself. Don't get me wrong. You need to have selfish moments. You need to have selfish times. These things are important. But relationship is about you. And so God says, hey, if you want a relationship with me, stop looking at me like I am a genie in a bottle who gives you things when you do certain things. Instead, look at the things that I value and learn to value them. And you know, the funny thing is that when we look at how God wants our relationship to work, we realize that both aspects are for us. Jesus says, come unto me, all you who are burdened and heavy laden, right? You come to me, and I will give you rest. I will give you. Notice that in both of those, your good is what is the focus. You come to me because you can't do it. You come to me because it's good for you. And I'll take care of you because it's good for you. See, too often we treat our relationship with God like it's one of those break glass in case of emergency kind of things, right? We all probably have had a friend or a family member, maybe still do, who never talks to us until they need something, right? They never call us, they never come by until they need something. I worked with a guy who had a girlfriend who magically showed up on payday and magically disappeared when all the money was gone. And we pointed it out to him and he said, oh, well, you know, she gets busy. Yeah, it's strange that she always gets busy around the same time and she always doesn't have anything to do. It took him a while. He finally did realize, oh, wait, I guess this lady is taking advantage of me, right? That's how we treat God a lot of times. How many times do you pray just to say, thank you, God? Versus how many times do you say, oh, God, I don't know what I'm going to do with it. I don't know. I've got a problem. Right? Because God is just a transaction. That even comes out in our evangelism. Don't want to go to hell? Say the sinner's prayer. See? Don't want to go to hell? Jesus can get you out of hell free. What was Jesus' evangelism? What was the early disciples' evangelism? Are you oppressed? Are you sick? Are you anxious? Are you poor? Are you hungry? Are you possessed by demons? Jesus can save you. The word in Greek translated save is also translated heal. because Jesus doesn't just save you from hell. Literally, Jesus saves you from hell figuratively. That's what Jesus taught. It's what the early church believed. It's what I hope we believe. I hope that we don't follow Jesus because we're looking up there. I hope that we follow Jesus because he looked down here. And he saw that his people were like sheep without a shepherd. And he had compassion on them. Remember this, brothers and sisters. In the Gospel of Mark, this past Wednesday at Bible study, we talked about the rich young ruler. And I'll paraphrase the story. The idea basically is that the rich young ruler comes to Jesus. He says, "Hey, what do I need to do to inherit eternal life?" And Jesus reminds him of the commandments. He says, "I've done that ever since I was able to do that," right? Jesus says, "Okay, well, the only thing left to do is sell everything you got, give it to the poor, take up your cross, follow me." And the rich man bows his head and he goes on because he can't get rid of his riches. Jesus says, "Man, it's really hard for rich people to get into heaven. It would be easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich person to get into heaven." And the disciples are shocked. Why are they shocked? Because in their worldview, if you're rich, God's blessing you. God blesses you because you're good, right? Transactional. You do good things, God gives you good things. You do bad things, God gives you bad things. We see it throughout the Gospels. Jesus challenging that idea. And they say, "Who can be saved then?" Jesus says, "With man it's impossible, but with God everything is possible." And then Peter does what Peter does. He opens his mouth, he inserts his foot. He says, "Well, Lord, you know, we gave up everything to follow you. We left our families and our jobs, everything to follow you." And I can just picture Peter. Boy, he's just as swelled up with pride as he can get. He looks like Barney Fife whenever somebody's talking, you know, nice things to him. He's just as proud as he can be. And Jesus says, "Peter, you know what? You're right. You did that. And anybody who does that, in no way will they not be blessed. In fact, they'll be blessed with an even bigger family. The church is an even bigger family. They'll have many mothers and fathers and sons and daughters and brothers and sisters and persecutions." Notice he throws in the persecutions. We like to skip that part. He says, "But Peter's still all swollen up with pride. You know, he's figured out a theological truth that probably Jesus didn't know until he mentioned it, you know. He says, "But Peter, don't forget. In the kingdom of God, the first will be last and the last will be first." And now, if Peter figured it out, because sometimes Peter was a little dense, I figure Peter went, "Wait a minute. I was one of the first people Jesus called. What's Jesus saying?" What Jesus is saying, Peter, is this. When you have a relationship with God, you don't worry about up there. Up there is taken care of, right? You worry about down here with the rest of us, as they say. You feed the hungry. You clothe the naked. You heal the sick. You preach good news and bind up the brokenhearted. You imitate Christ, who didn't worry about what was up there, but instead came down here because what's up there takes care of itself. Down here in the darkness is where we need light. Amen. Let us pray. Father, we thank you for this day and for the many blessings that you give us. Help us, Lord, to be light. Help us to reflect the light of the Son of God, just as the moon reflects the light of our Son. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, we pray. Amen. As you're able, please stand for our final hymn. We have a little bit of a change. We will be singing All Hail the Power of Jesus' Name, verses 3, 4, and 5, and it's number 154 in your hymnal. And now receive the benediction. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, keep your eyes on things above that need to be below. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, you're dismissed. Go in peace.